Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
Well, so glad you tuned in today. We have another beautiful day that the Lord has made. And the Bible says, let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we are one day closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he will set up his kingdom on this earth and he will rule and reign over the whole planet, and every problem that man has that man could not solve will be instantly solved by our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he has told us all about it in the book. If you want to read and find out what the world will be like under Jesus, you can read the book of Isaiah and just start to read that and study it, and you will see what the Lord is going to do when he comes back and he rules over this earth. Well, we're in the book of Revelation 14, and we're talking about this book for a while, and it's an amazing book, and it deals with the time of what is called Jacob's trouble, or it's the day of the Lord, also called the day of the Lord, which is God's judgment and wrath, in which he begins to take over this planet. And so there is many wonderful lessons that we can learn from this book. Now, we're going to start in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 9, and it says, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Now, there is an angel, and he makes a pronouncement, and an angel is a messenger of God who is speaking to man, and he warns man about, and he says it with a loud voice so everybody knows. You know, everybody can know the truth, and the truth is, Jesus Christ said, the truth is God's word. Thy word is truth. And all you can do is you can go to one of the dollar stores and you can pick up a King James Bible for $10, and it's in large print, and you can read exactly what God says. And just in case we miss this, I want to bring this out, but the Bible says, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you put your trust in Jesus, and you receive him as your Lord and as your God. Lord means he's the boss, he's the creator of this world, and Savior. He's our Savior, and that is, he died for your sins, he was punished for you, he lived a perfect life, and when you receive him as your Lord and Savior, your sins are counted to him, and his perfection and righteousness are counted to you. And you are saved. That is, you're saved from God's wrath, you're saved from his judgment. Now, it says, during this period of time, if a man is going to set up a world empire, and he's working on that right now, that's going on in this world, and they're uniting the things that the trade of this world, the uniting the laws of this world. They're working on the military of this world to turn it into a one-world government under this leadership of this individual that is a beast. And you will not be able to buy or sell unless you have his mark on your forehead or on your hand. However, God says, if you take the mark, then you will suffer his wrath and judgment, because this beast or this Antichrist will be in total opposition to God. He will be a world dictator, a world ruler, and we are getting ready for that right now in the world. Now it says, if any man worship the beast, that is, praise, glorify, and honor him, this individual, and his image, and receive his mark in their forehead. Now, the image may be an image of the Queen of Heaven. If you want to read about the Queen of Heaven, that's found in Jeremiah chapter 44 and also Jeremiah chapter 7, where the women made cakes to the Queen of Heaven. And this is the worldwide worship of this woman that is going to have an image made to her. You find it in the book of Acts, where they have an image to Diana of the Ephesians, and they said the whole world worships her. So there will be a woman, and she will have an image. And just like the United States has a woman that represents her, the in New York Harbor, so this image will represent the world government. It'll be of a woman. Now, you see in Europe already where this world government is taking place, they have a woman riding the beast. And so they will worship this image of this woman. And so this image is being worshipped already among in the Roman Church and among different religions. Miracles are taking place already with this woman that the world will worship. But if you do that, the Bible says that you will receive the wrath and judgment of God. Now it says here, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Now, indignation means his anger. And there's you can have people angry at you, but you don't want to have God angry at you. You don't want to have God against you. And the way to do that is if you receive Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, you receive the Father and the Holy Spirit, and God's wrath will pass over you. The Bible says about God, the day of God's wrath, the great day of the Lord, the seven-year period when God's wrath is on his earth, it says, he hath delivered us from the wrath to come. If you've received Christ, if you're born again, if you're saved, God's going to rapture you out of this earth. He is going to take you out of this earth, according to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which says we'll be caught up. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says he's delivered us from the wrath to come. That is the day of God's wrath. Now, his wrath is poured out on this earth, it says, without mixture into the cup of his indignation. That's his anger. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So they will see the wrath of God poured out on mankind, those that have rejected God. And this is the greatest crime in the universe. This is the unforgivable sin, and that is the rejection of Jesus, because he is the creator, he is God. And so you're saying to God, I will not have you to rule over me. And so God's wrath is then poured out on you. You know, you are taking, you're breathing God's air, you're eating his food, you're receiving his rain, you are receiving, you have his children. All of these things God has given you all through your life, and yet today there's people, they break every law of God. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they kill, they plunder, they live in great wealth. But the Bible calls them fools when they reject God, because it's just a short time. And it's just the madness of it. You see these politicians, they're lying right on television, and they're taking millions of dollars from people and doing everything that's wicked. Well, God calls them a fool because they do it a few years, and then all of a sudden they drop dead. David said, I used to be envious of them until I went to the house of God, and I saw what would happen to them, that they will soon be cut off. And so they're dying, and they go into eternity to face God in his wrath and judgment. And it says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So it says here, that the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And, you know, in the future, you are tormented and without Christ, and you go to hell and it lasts forever and ever. God offers you salvation as a free gift through faith in Jesus Christ. And right now, you don't have to understand a lot. If you understand that Jesus was God, if you understand that he died for your sins, you understand that your righteousness will never get you to heaven. It'll send you to hell because one sin will damn you. If you understand this and just say to God, I don't understand all about you, but I accept you, and you tell him that right now from your heart, the Bible says you're saved forever. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What a wonderful scripture verse. He says, I'll never kick you out. You may, you know, after we get saved, we sin and we fail. But we can confess our sins to the Lord. And God promises, it says, he will confirm you unto the end. And it says, he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And even in the Old Testament, David says, as a prophet of God, blessed is the man to whom God doth not impute iniquity. He doesn't count your sin against you when you accepted Christ, because all your sin is counted to Jesus. And yet you reject God, you're going to pay for your own sin. And what a horrible thing. It'll be forever and ever. And your pride may keep you from God. You say, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't believe that stuff. And Satan has deceived you through pride, and you're not thinking straight. God wants to give you heaven as a home. Now it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, God is saying to the people that have been tortured and killed because they've followed Christ, he's saying, this is your patience. These people are going to be judged, and they're going to spend eternity in eternal torment. That is, forever and ever, they will be tormented in the lake of fire. And that's not a good deal. That's not sense. And yet the Bible says, if you think that way, and if you think that you can mock God and you can do anything you please, and then when you die, you'll escape and you'll cease to exist, then you're deceived by Satan. Now, God says to those that die at that time and are tortured, just remember that there is a judgment coming, and these people will be judged. Verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Now it says, blessed are they that die in the Lord. What does that mean? Well, King David in Psalms chapter 2, talking about Jesus Christ, he says, I will declare the decree, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And then it says, blessed are all they that trust in him. That is, God gives you something. He gives you a blessing. A blessing is to receive something. And so when you trust in Jesus Christ, according to King David, who is a prophet of God, you receive the blessing of God. What is that? Forgiveness of sins. That is a beautiful home that is beyond your imagination in heaven. An everlasting life of eternal joy and eternal peace. A time where there is no suffering. And you'll serve the Lord, and you'll be given jobs that you would enjoy doing, that will be a happiness and joy for you to do, that you can have the ability to do these things and serve the Lord. It'll be a time of fellowship. It'll be a time that will last forever. And so it says, blessed are they that die in the Lord. And then it says, their works do follow them. When we get saved, God wants us to be busy about doing things for him. Yeah, we're going to serve him in heaven. We ought to serve now. And how can we serve the Lord? Well, you see somebody has a need, go out there. Maybe it's an older person by themselves. Go and visit them or invite them to your house. Make a meal. Do good deeds for them. Jesus said it. He went about doing good. And then talk to people about Jesus. Give out some tracts. Give them your testimony, what it means to be saved. Praise the Lord and thank God, you know, and do something. There's all kinds of things you can do for the Lord. And it says your works will follow you. That is, when you physically die and you go to heaven, your works will follow you. And the Lord says that for whatever you do for him, even giving a cup of cold water in his name, it says that he will reward you 100 times for that. If you're making $10 an hour, you will be rewarded 100 times when you work for the Lord. You'll make $1,000 an hour, he's saying, in service and in rewards to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our opportunities in heaven will be based on whether we serve him now. We need to put aside time. You know, Paul says he died daily. If we're going to serve the Lord, excuse me, we're going to have to die to ourselves and make time to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved and you believe and you have faith in your heart, you should be serving the Lord. If you're not, why aren't you? See, God tells us to do this all the time. And so their works do follow them in heaven. And it says, I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we use the word like today to refer to something that is different, but it is similar to something else. In the Bible, it uses the word like. It can refer to the same person. So the Son of Man is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said at his trial, they said, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And he said, you will not see me till you see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory, you know. And so the Son of Man is referring to Jesus, and he has a sharp sickle. He's going to reap the earth. Now, we'll talk about that in just a minute, but we'll take a short break, and then we'll be back.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
Now, we're getting back to our lesson here today, and it's found in Revelation chapter 14, and we see that Jesus Christ has appeared, and he has a sickle, and that is, he is going to reap something with the sickle, just like they reap the harvest, but he is going to reap the harvest of the earth. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now, it's talking here about the sickle of the Lord, and that is that he reaps people. That is, he, at this time, many people are put to death, are killed when he takes his sickle and reaps that sickle, or reaps the people. And that is his judgment on the earth. And you see, during the time of the tribulation, millions die. And somebody put it this way, that the tribulation, you know, an army, when it comes in to conquer territory, first it bombards that area. And man, in his stubbornness and so on, will resist God right to the very end. And so God is, he's bombarding the earth in reality during this period of time, and millions of people die. And till the point where he finally comes back and man is willing to surrender because Christ has won the war. So the sickle is referring to the people that died during this period of time. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. So first the Son of Man, Christ, he reaps the sickle, reaps the people of the earth with his sickle. And then another angel comes out. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice, and cried to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Now, the way to understand the Bible, of course, is comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And you see this found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Where it says we're to compare spiritual things with spiritual. And some people don't understand Revelation because they don't do this. But everything in Revelation, it harks back to the Old Testament, and it is explained this. The vine of the earth is talking about those in the Jewish community that are in rebellion against the God of heaven. And during the day of the Lord, God is going to put his judgment on those people in that community that are in rebellion against God. And Moses talks about this. If you want to check this out, it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 32, in which the vine of the earth, and it talks about the vine of the earth being like the vine of Sodom. And in other words, these people are promoting sodomy. As people in the Jewish community that are in rebellion against God. It's not talking about all of them, because you see 144,000 Jewish men will be evangelists at that time and preach salvation unto God and unto the Lamb. And many Jewish people will be saved at that time, according to the book of Zechariah, chapter 13. But those that are in rebellion against God and are fighting against God will be destroyed. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And so they were gathered, the men that were in rebellion against God, they were gathered together and they were cast into the winepress. Now, a winepress, they would put grapes in this circular thing that had cement sides to it, and they would put these grapes in, and then people would get inside and trample down the grapes, and juice would come out through holes in this round object. When the grapes were trampled on, the juice would come out, and that's where the grape juice came from. And so it compares those in Israel that were in rebellion against God as God came down and trampled them down through his judgment until the blood came out. And it says, the winepress was trodden without the city. That would be the city of Jerusalem. Blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. That's about 900 miles. And that's about the length of Israel. And so God's wrath and his judgment come down on them at that time. And so this book is talking about the wrath and talking about the judgment of God. God doesn't want man to perish. The Bible says God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And during that time, people do come to repentance, but thank God he has delivered us from the wrath to come. And so right now, you can put your faith in Jesus and you could be forgiven and have eternal life. And I hope you will do this.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.